Okay, 11th malacha is actually ofer, which means baking, because they had to bake the bread, the lechem ha-panim, the showbreads, which is part of the service in the Mishkan. And we reach this point because we've already done lush, we've already mixed up the water with the flour to make the dough. So this is the next part. It's actually the final of the 11 parts of making the bread. However, you usually refer to bishul, which we can refer to as cooking, so it's known, the malacha is known as bishul. There's a whole discussion in the Rishonim, why we focus more on the baking, on the cooking, rather than bishul, rather than the baking, but that's not for now. So any form, this is going to be the av malacha definition, the act of making or expediting, which means to speed up, a physical change in a substance by means of heat. That is going to be our go-to definition. The act of making, or even speeding up, a physical change in a substance by means of heat.
For bishul or
bishul. We're talking bishul now. We're going to talk bishul. That's really how we're going to define it. And that's obviously on Shabbat. By doing that on Shabbat, a person is over, has transgressed the malacha, the creative action of bishul, of cooking. So theoretically, if I had a cooked food and I wanted to warm it up on Shabbat, that would be
allowed.
Why? Because I'm not changing it in any way, shape, or form. Now, we're going to see there are a number of rabbinic, many derabbanans are going to be connected to that through the nervousness that people have towards cooking. So the rabbis made decrees, they made gezeirot, exactly how we're expected to do that. And that's going to be a whole discussion of blechs and platas, all the rest of that we'll get to in the next few classes after Pesach and Mitzvah Hashem. But right now, we're going to focus on the actual malachi itself, that is the Doraisa, on Shabbat. And there's going to be two parts to it. The two things we're going to have to look at are solids and liquids. Because a solid is going to cook differently to a liquid, right? Solids are going to cook differently to liquids. So, well, I want to come back to the liquids. Well, that's going to be a very interesting discussion, how we're going to figure out whether a liquid gets cooked or not. At what point is a solid considered to be cooked? At what point is a liquid considered to be cooked? In other words, if I have a piece of meat and I were to, on Shabbat, put it on the fire for 30 seconds, is that cooked? 30 seconds on a fire is not going to do much. If I were to put it there for 5 minutes, 20 minutes, at what point is a person, and this is actually going to be important, this is not just an academic discussion, it's going to have relevance, as we'll see, when it comes to the cooking itself. And a liquid, at what point is a liquid cooked? Is there a certain temperature that we're going to have to reach in order for it to be considered cooked? Okay, so we're going to see that there actually is. Let's begin with solids. Let's begin with solids, and then we'll talk about liquids and all the other applications we're going to have with it. So let's talk about a solid itself. So the solid itself, the shear of bishul, the shear of bishul when it comes to a solid, is going to be a machlokes. And we follow the opinion of Machal ben Drusai, is how it's described. What is Machal ben Drusai? Machal ben Drusai. So Machal ben Drusai was named after someone called Drusai. And Drusai, according to the Gemara, was a thief. He was a thief. He used to hijack, and he used to... Sorry, put an aleph in there, probably. He used to be a thief. He would stop people on the street, I guess. It was a highwayman, I love the year. And he used to mug people. And he was constantly on the run. He was constantly on the run. Even when it came to eating, he didn't have time to sit in one place too long. He'd have to cook food, eat it, and get out of there. So the Gemara, interestingly enough, uses him as the milestone. Right? The food of this fugitive as a milestone. So what exactly is that? So, there are different opinions. Rashi says it's a third cooked. A third cooked. Once food is cooked a third, it's done. What is that? 33%, right? According to Rashi, once the food is cooked a third, we'll see how to define that in a second, you're done. According to the Rambam, it's a half. He would let the food be cooked a half, which is 50%. Which is 50%. What does that mean? That according to Rashi, as soon as your food reaches a third cooked, you're over on Bishul Daraisa if you were to cook it on Shabbos. That would do it for you. According to the Rambam, once it's half cooked, 50%, on Shabbos, you're over on Bishul. Before that point, it hasn't cooked. Hasn't cooked. Reached that limit, it's now cooked. How do you define a half cooked or a third cooked? Well, how long would it take for you to cook this food? How long would it take you to cook this food? So let's say it would take you 2 hours for this particular food in order to be cooked and something to quicken others. Right? An egg cooks much quicker than a piece of meat. So when it comes to eggs, right, that's going to be a very quick thing. Tea leaves cook quicker than chunks of meat, dough. Right? So we're going to have to bear this in mind. However long it takes, cut that in half, you reach that point, you've cooked. You've cooked. Actually, tea leaves are probably instantaneously cooked when hot water is added to them. Okay? So, who do we go by? So the answer is, it depends. And as we go through the Malacha in more detail, we'll see we go strict according to both opinions. That means, Erev Shabbos, when you enter into Shabbos, you're going to try to be as strict as the Rambam and make sure food is half-cooked, okay? As you go into Shabbos, okay? They're going to be, we'll see, there's rabbinic strictures over here. Some say even completely raw, but we'll come to that later on why that would be. And Rashi, there'll be times to be strict according to him when even a third cooked is cooked. So if someone puts food on the on a heat source, you want to get it off, obviously, before it reaches the third cooked. Okay?
Wait, so how do we know if it's half cooked or a third?
It's a time thing. How long does it normally take? Let's say it takes an hour to cook a piece of food. According to the Rambam, 30 minutes in, it's cooked. According to Rashi, a third of that. Okay? Once it reaches that point, it is cooked. Okay? We're going to see that even if something is mevushal karl soko, mevushal, karl soko, that's a resh, yeah? Even if something is completely cooked, we're going to see there are going to be rabbinic strictures that you can't just directly put them onto a fire. Okay? And this is based upon an idea, as we'll see, ein bishul, acha bishul. Ein bishul, acha bishul. There's no cooking after once something has cooked. Once it's cooked, it's reached that threshold, we'll go strict according to the Rambam. Once it's reached that point, it's cooked. Okay? It is cooked. Now, it may be a problem, it is a problem, adding that directly to a fire, or continuing to cook that item on Shabbat itself, even if it's reached the level of Mevushal Kol Tzorko, completely cooked, especially if it's going to become... Now, some foods, we're going to see, that are raw, but edible as raw foods, may not be considered to be Bishul Doraisa, definitely Dirabbanan for sure, but not Doraisa when it comes to cooking them on Shabbos. Okay? That's only if they're edible in their raw state. They become rabbinic. And by the way, it's going to apply to non-foods as well. Look at the definition, didn't talk about food. It's mostly going to concern food, this whole big malacha of Bishul, but it can also refer to wax. You want to pour boiling water on your wax candles, which have melted or something, I don't know. All right. That would be a problem. Okay? So it's not just foods, but non-foods, like wax and adding any form of heat that's going to change it, will be a problem. But for the most part, we're going to end up discussing foods because that's probably the main area that things come into. So foods is one. Next we have liquids. Liquids.
This only to do with solids?
We discussed so far, machal ben drusai, that is a milestone that is needed to help us understand when a solid is cooked. Machal ben drusai, with the Rashi's opinion and Rambam's opinion, is in the world of solids. Okay? That is the gradient that we use to say at that point something is cooked, at that point you have broken Shabbos. That is cooked. We're going to see rabbinic aspects to it when we get to the Drabbanans of what you can and cannot do with those things. But according to Torah law, it's cooked is cooked.
It doesn't apply to
liquids? Liquid is going to right now. So hold your horses. Let's talk about liquids. So at what point is something cooked according to Torah law? And for a liquid, it's yad soledes. Yad soledes bo, or yad soledet bo, whichever you prefer. Phones away, please. Yad soledet bo. And what is that? So that is generally defined as when a liquid is hot enough that your literally means your hand will pull back from it. Hot enough that you touch the liquid, your hand will pull back from that thing itself. Okay? So in other words, if you were to leave ice cream out on a counter and it melts, heat has changed it, but you haven't cooked it, you see? It's got to reach this, although there's a visible change, right, in the ice, but that is not Bishul. Okay? Look, it may be another problem of Molad, but that's not our concern right now. So at what point are we reaching? So there's different opinions at what point something is Yad Soledes. Okay? And some opinions go all the way up to 120 degrees. Some go down to 104. Rav Moshe, and this is generally accepted, I believe, most people say it's 110. 110 degrees Fahrenheit. At that point, something is cooked according to Torah law. I just give you an idea of how hot that is, because we don't really deal with temperatures nowadays in our day and age, yeah? Your average bath water, hot bath water, could be 101, hot bath water, okay? Hot tap in your home, you can get to 120, 125. A cup of hot coffee, yeah, with some milk and sugar inside, can reach 120, 125. A glass of hot tea with no milk in there, unless you're from England, of course. But a cup of hot tea, which is almost too hot to sip, can be 150, 160. It's pretty hot, right? A hot bowl of chicken soup can go up to, you know, 160, 170, 180, because that's coming directly out of the pot. So you see already that we are dealing with extremely hot substances on our day-to-day life on Shabbat, but when it comes to Los Abishal, you've passed the threshold of 110 degrees. Okay? There's going to be another problem when it comes to liquids, which is not applied by solids. And that is, when it comes to solids, something is completely cooked. You're going to be able to reheat it because you're not changing it in any way. A cooked piece of chicken is a cooked piece of chicken. And if you want to warm it up, we'll see how to do that later on in the course. But if you want to warm it up, you can. You can. But when it comes to liquids, there's a problem. And the problem, or I say the challenge, is that liquid that cools down and is now cold reverts back to what it was before. And this is referred to as yesh bishul, there is cooking, it's considered to be cooking, badavar lach. Alright? There is considered yesh bishul badavar lach, something which is wet, this can be cooked, achar bishul, even though it's been cooked beforehand. Even though it's been cooked or pasteurized, which means it's cooked, but a liquid that is now cold reverts back to its original state. That is not true with chicken. You cook that chicken, it's now cold in your fridge for a couple of days, you put it out, it's a cooked piece of chicken. Now the rabbi is going to add certain, to kind of the way you're going to warm it up, right? They're going to add certain boundaries there to keep you not putting things directly onto fires. So they're going to help you and give us certain boundaries and limitations. But in essence, that cooked chicken is cooked. That liquid could have been boiled up. If it cools down, you're cooking. You are cooking. This is going to apply in the kitchen, but it's also going to apply in the bathroom when you're using your faucets or using your showers. Because if you turn on your hot faucet on Shabbat, water comes out of the boiler, comes out of the tank. It has to be replaced. That water is replaced with cold water, which is now going to get hot. How hot? Over 110. And we're going to see that when that water returns in, although it's a grama, I'm turning on a faucet, which lets the water out and water goes back in, on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov, but on Shabbos, that's going to be a problem.
What's the difference between that and the fridge with the motor? Same thing.
So over there, first of all, we're dealing with a direct fire on a liquid. So we're dealing with the original items over here.
Fire.
100%. You've got a fire that's under the urn and it's boiling it up. There's a fire, there's a pile of light, comes on. When you turn it on, it's going to be taking the water in there and it's cooking it in there. It's boiling it up. It's boiling it up.
The boiler has a real fire?
Well, there's a pile of light over there with fire over there, yeah. Yeah.
That's the difference?
As well as the fact that you're taking a cold liquid and cook it up on Shabbos. So, truth be told, when you open the fridge and the air goes in and it triggers on the motor to go on, so it's a question whether that motor really is Doraisa anyway. Is it definitely going to happen? Maybe yes, maybe no. Over here, we're dealing with the actual thing itself. We're more strict when it comes to real fire than we are otherwise. Truth be told, though, they're pretty similar. As we said, opening a fridge on Shabbos and opening an oven on Shabbos are probably not so different, to be honest with you. If you deal with real, but if you deal with real flames, we're a lot more strict. Yes.
Would there still be a problem if the flame was on?
100%. 100%. You have a flame that is on. You have your water urn on Shabbat. Uh-huh. And it's on. And it's got hot water in there. Uh-huh. You cannot come along and add water to it on Shabbos. That would be totally forbidden for you to use that water, which is boiled up, on Shabbos.
Well, why is it? I know that like liquid has the, like, if you boil it, it's considered cooking, but why is it considered cooking if it's just water by itself? You know what I mean?
Because water is something that can be cooked. I don't understand your question. Water can be cooked. Cold water is considered to be cooked when it boils up. To what degree? 110 degrees. That it's cooked at that point. Even if it was cooked before, it reverts. Because you're saying, is there a significant change in the item itself? That's a fair question. And we consider boiling to be a significant change in it. That is a significant change in the item itself. And we treat it that way. We treat it that way in terms of cooking. You can cook something in a boiling liquid, and you cannot cook something in a cold liquid. So there's some property change that has happened in the liquid itself that is now able to change the item I'm putting inside it. Okay? There's another challenge, which is called memaher bishul, speeding up. One second, I gotta go slow. My brain works slowly. Hold your question. Memaher bishul. That is to speed up a cookie. You can't. That's the expediting thing we spoke about as well. Put a change in it, and you can't expedite it. You cannot speed it up. Let's say you have a urn on the fire from before Shabbos, and it's warming up. You're now going to take some liquid out on Shabbos, not completely cooked yet. So what's going to happen is, when you release the water, you're going to speed it, because there's less water in there, you're going to speed up the cooking of the remaining water. Okay? Because you have less volume. So basically what a person should try to do is preparing an urn of water on Shabbos, before Shabbos, make sure the water is at least completely cooked. Okay? That's like, and you probably go with a strict Yatzeletis bow over there. Okay? No, that's like you're opening it. That's not like one thing or nothing. You're just opening a little spout that's coming straight out.
And also, some of the urns, they just go automatically.
And you're taking it out.
I'm saying, how does that, if you take it out before Shabbat, like.
Well, before Shabbat, we're talking about on Shabbat itself.
No, you just said you
should. If you said you should boil it up before Shabbat,
yeah.
We're saying that if on Shabbat now, it's not completely cooked, you take some of the liquid out of it, you have less water in there, you're speeding up the. I'm not adding anything, I'm taking away. But I'm speeding up the cooking process because there's less water inside the urn. That makes sense?
But the urn sometimes goes automatically, boils by itself. You don't have to press anything.
Yeah, we turn on before Shabbat. Nothing is automatic. It turns on before Shabbat.
Yeah, turn on before Shabbat. It boils it. Okay, and then every time you take water, like after half hour, it boils again.
No, it's just keeping it. No, it's reached the temperature and it's keeping it at that temperature. That's fine. If it keeps kicking in, that's its own thing. It's now cooked for Shabbat, and it's hot. That's not a problem. Okay? We're going to see as well that there could be a problem called magus. Magus. And that is stirring hot food on Shabbat. Sephardim, we're going to see, are less stringent with this. Hagasa, magus. Yeah, it's going to be less strict with this, especially when it's off the flame. There could be some uncooked food, but we don't do it on the flame itself. I think even Sephardim is strict with, I believe. I have to look into it again. But if you have hot food on the blech itself, you come to stir it, there could be some uncooked things in there, which are now moving around. Since you move around, it gets the hotter part of the pot, and by that process, it starts to cook. And then by the process, it starts to cook a little bit faster. You're speeding up the cooking process, and that's going to be a problem. Clear liquids are less of a problem because the heat, generally speaking, is transferred right through. Is perfectly okay. Because we're talking about solids. Chillant on the pot. We don't go there on the fire and move it around because you're personally are going through and you're speeding up the cooking process. Okay, that's called magus. Mem, gimel, yud, samach. Magus, hagasa. Okay? Could be a little bit of barley in there or something, not completely cooked in that particular pot. And they move it around. Now it's going to clear liquids, unless they're a problem. And I guess it's also connected to Mamaha Bishal as well. You could be speeding up the process as well. 1 second. Right, so this moving thing. I think on a flame, even Sfaradim do it. Off the flame, some Ashkenazim are stringent, I believe. Sfaradim are more lenient. They have what to rely upon when it's off the flame to spur it. Maybe they'll just like spoon it out. Okay? When it comes to crock pots consider to be on the fire. That is on the fire.
So
for these purposes, yeah. Because it cooks on that thing. That crock pot is cooking it. It's hot enough to cook it, therefore it has the ability to cook.
Does it matter how liquid it is or how, like...
Yeah.
If it's got... No, like a cholent is liquid and solid. It's got solids in there. It's a solid. If we're talking about a completely clear liquid, like a completely clear chicken soup, then we can be lenient, yeah. Because we're saying there could be pieces in there that are not completely cooked yet. That's why. So we're careful for no. So I put it in there, it's all completely cooked, right? I could take, but sometimes a little few pieces in there that may have remained slightly raw. You have that sometimes. You pull out a raw bean sometimes or uncooked something which is somewhere in a pot and get the full heat. So we're nervous for that, so we don't stir it. That's magus. Yeah? Yeah. Very good. Take it off the pot, and you can just put the serving. You're okay. If you're just doling it out and putting it on a plate, that's going to be okay. That's going to be okay. Yeah.
What if you have like the crock pot thing, and you can take it out? Can you? Let's say you have some like liquid on the top, and it's a little bit more solid on the bottom. Can you mix it in?
Yeah. If it's hot enough, yes. Like oil on top, you can mix it in like that. Yeah. Once off the fire, on the fire, we don't do the mixing. Yes. We're going to consider this to be the same. We're going to say no to that as well. You're going to take it off. You're going to take it off. Blech, I don't want to get to blech. We're talking about on the fire itself. But blech's going to come to. Blech's going to help us. They're going to help us. Make it less of a problem. Potentially, we'll come to that possibly as well.
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting question. Okay. Let's get to... We're going fast over here, I apologize, but we have a lot to do, and we'll review it. So things cook themselves. But there's also different forms of heat. Second. When it comes to Bishul. And we have something called Toldos Ha'esh. Secondary forms of heat. Different gradations of heat. Okay? So what exactly does this entail? Toldos Ha'esh, or Toldos Or, sometimes referred to. Okay, Toldos Ha'esh, secondary forms of heat. Let's go through the liquid varieties. And this is going to be probably the most important when it comes to cooking on Shabbos. You have what is called a Kli Rishon. A Kli Rishon. A Kli Rishon is the first utensil that was used for cooking. So that will refer to a pot on the fire. It is also going to refer to, electronically, a crock pot that is plugged into the wall. Okay, so here's my crock pot. There's my little wire. And there it is in its little cradle. Okay? And it's plugged into the wall over there. That's also a Kli Rishon. Actually, to be more specific, it's a Kli Rishon al ha'esh, on top of the fire itself. And that also refers to an urn that is full of water.
But that pot is on the fire or not?
That's on the fire. This is plugged into a wall, and this is plugged into a wall as well. There's my wall, there's my plug, and here's my water urn. And this is my crock pot.
And these are all considered
Eish? These are all Kli Rishon al ha'esh. They are all items that cook things completely. They are the strictest level, and therefore, putting raw items into any of these things is going to be Bishul Midoraisa. They have the power to cook all foods. They have the power to cook all foods. And this is the general category over here, obviously, of kalim. Vessels. Yes. Any form of food that goes into one of these three is considered to be cooking. Raw food, we're talking about, yeah? That goes into one of these three. So cold liquid, or a raw piece of meat, or a... a flour, whatever it is, putting that into one of those items. We're going to come to rabbinic. I don't want to say that because we're going to have rabbinic restrictions as well. But on a Torah level, this is what cooks. Okay? That's how you cook something. Okay? Okay, some say maybe like very, very tough meats that go inside here, like beef, right? But nowadays things get so hot. We don't mess around. Okay, what comes next? So what comes next is called Irui Kli Rishon. Irui Kli Rishon. Irui Kli Rishon. And Irui Kli Rishon refers to the liquid that is pouring from the first vessel. Okay? So I'm just going to wipe away my crock pot from the board, but this is the pouring thing. So now I've taken these items, let's say my pot, yeah, and I have removed them from the fire, or I have my urn, and I've flicked up the little switch, the little lever that has released the water. That water is now being poured. Okay? So now I have my pot over here. Here's my hot water. This pot was on the fire. This is my Kli Rishon over here. Now I have a pot over here, which has got inside it some food or liquid. Let's use liquid because that's probably the easiest thing to understand right now. Yeah. The liquid pours from here to here. This liquid that's coming out is the Irui Kli Rishon. That is, one second, slow. This liquid pouring from here, which is now going to touch this food, or this liquid over here, is Irui Kli Rishon. That is the pouring from a Kli Rishon. This has a power to cook. The stream has the power to cook. How much? Not as much as a Kli Rishon, but a little bit. And it's the outer surface of that food. So if there's a food in here, yeah, it's the outer surface called Kedei Klipa. Just the outer surface. But that's still cooking. The outer surface would be cooked by coming into contact with it.
Question.
Yes, what if it was empty?
Ah, so we're getting there right now. 1 second. So now, says Farah, I have an empty pot. Mabruk. So now I'm going to take my Kli Rishon and I'm going to pour its contents, follow carefully, we're going to do this once, this is important information, into this item. This is empty over here. This is a Klisheni.
But are you allowed to do that?
1 second. Why not? Taking a liquid and pouring it into an empty pot? 100%. Now put it into here, and now I have this liquid over here, and a change has happened. A change has happened. What has changed? What's different?
The temperature of the water.
The temperature of the water. Why? You pour it in a heat escape. It can't just be that, because if that were true, then this wouldn't be a problem, would it? The Iri Kli Rishon. The heat escaping as you pour, it helps. And when you were kids, your mother used to pour, you know, from one vessel to another vessel. It wasn't just the pouring itself, it was also the vessel itself. The vessel itself, in this case a cold vessel, is going to cool it down. This is called in Hebrew, dofnot makararot, or dofnos makararos.
From that pot or that urn?
Yeah, 1 second. Dofen makararot means the walls, the dofen of the walls, cool it down. The walls of the pot are going to cool it down. Now, what's going to be interesting over here is that at this point, you're going to put your finger in here and say, 1 second, that's still very, very hot. That's still very, very hot. This cliche is very, very hot. It's not a scientific thing, it's a halachic thing. We now consider, since it's entered into that second pot, it's lost its cooking ability. It's lost its cooking ability, and therefore, it cannot cook. It cannot cook. There are some things which we are nervous about. And they, there's a lot of terms today, they are things that are easy to cook. Easy to cook. They're referred to in Hebrew as kalei habishul. Some things are easy to cook, easier than others. An egg cooks quicker than a piece of chicken. It's just a reality. A tea bag with pieces of shreds of plants in there, which are inedible, raw, so it's there to be cooking, yeah? Could cook in the klisheni. Could cook in the klisheni. Definitely an iroi klisheni, but even a klisheni itself. So that means, according to that, it would be forbidden to introduce into this klisheni an item that is easily cooked. An item that is easily cooked. And some examples of that, so the Gemara gives examples, not so sure what they are, but there are certain small fish like sardines or Spanish mackerel, certain small fish that are easy cooked. Okay, eggs, tea leaves are things that are easily cooked, and we are strict not to put them into a kli sheni. Okay, having said that, what we're going to do comes along this very unusual idea, and there's actually a discussion whether such a thing even exists in halacha. Most say it's okay. Not the best way to do it. I'll teach you how to make the perfect cup of tea on Shabbat. And that can be found in the Mishnah Berurah, Lamed Tes. I remember that because it stands for Lipton tea. When I was learning, my wife was actually an accountant working with PricewaterhouseCoopers when I was dating her. And she had a job at Lipton tea. So I'm going to say it in my head, okay? So Lamed Tes, Lipton tea. And that is, so how to do it, this would work, according to many opinions. But some people are strict to do it a slightly different way, and I'll show you that a little bit later. But right now, just the basic ideas of cooking, we have what's called a kli shlishi. Right? Nah, not freezing. Ki kli shlishi is a third cup. Now, we have to be careful. We're not talking iroi kli sheni. Iroi kli sheni could possibly cook kli kale abishal. Get that? In other words, once I take this pot of, this is my kli sheni. I'm taking my kli sheni up here to the top of the board. Can you see it? It's now pouring out. This is a mistake I see people make. Here's my kli shlishi. See it? It's my mug. Let's use a mug. Okay? And now I'm going to pour. This is my kli sheni now over here, which has got my water in it. And that's coming out into here. If there were a tea bag inside here at this point, yeah? That's an iroi kli sheni. We don't want iroi kli sheni. We want kli shlishi. We want it to hit the walls of the kli shlishi to cool down. You get it? So if you pour it directly from a kli sheni, it's iroi kli sheni, so maybe the stream itself is not as hot. That's true. That's true. It's only a kli klipa, but with something which is easy to cook, we don't want to risk it. Therefore, this kli sheni should empty into an empty kli shlishi, then the pot cools it down, you've had the stream poured in, and the kli shlishi cools it down, and now you can take your tea bag, according to those who say you can, and you can put that tea bag directly into a kli shlishi. Not into an empty kli shlishi, then put the water on it, which would be a problem. Yeah? So very, very good. Where does coffee fall into this? So we'll talk about coffee, because coffee is a solid, right, which has already been cooked. It's freeze-dried, okay? There's granules or the powdery stuff. Having said that, I was actually at a present at the questioning of a convert, and there were big rabbis, and they got into a fight about this, actually. But pretty much everyone says a kli sheni you're okay with. That means you tastily take it out of the kumkum, out of the pot, out of the urn, into a cup. It's now a kli sheni, and you can put it inside there.
You always put after?
Yes, because you need the pot to cool it down. Now, this is also going to be a question. We're going to come to this a little bit later. But this is also going to be interesting when it comes to taking liquid out of a pot using a ladle. Taking liquid out of a pot using a ladle. When you spoon out, is the ladle a kli sheni? And then into the new pot, it becomes a kli shlishi? Or do we say that the ladle is just transferring one to the other? Hear the difference over here? Hear the difference? So when let's get on to the question before we... So that's our question, sure. Question is, I got my pot over here, I take a ladle, when I spoon it out and put it into another pot, is the ladle considered to be a kli sheni by making the third pot into a kli shlishi?
No.
Which will allow me, if not, by the way, that means putting some food items into your chicken soup on Shabbat could be a problem. What is a cooked already? Some say it could be a problem because they were baked and now you're cooking them. So it's bishul acha ofel, right? So that could be a problem itself. But you hear the problem over here with some things that maybe would be problematic. I'll give you an example of something which we know for sure could be a problem. Pepper. Pepper. Now, you can't grind down pepper on Shabbos, because that is... Of which one?
Tochen.
Very good. So you can't grind, but that's how I got pepper. Pepper is actually raw spice, right? It's a spice that's been ground down. So if, according to this, I want about pepper in my chicken soup, just think of one example, and it went from my kli rishon, right, even if it's off the fire, lo ala esh, still very, very hot, I spoon out with a ladle, put it into the chicken soup bowl. If the ladle is not a kli sheni, then my chicken soup is a kli sheni and really hot, and then I put pepper into it, could be a problem. So is it or isn't it? This is a question. And I've had it go both ways. Some people, I think the final locha is, people say, if the ladle is hot, Sometimes you touch it, it's hot. Sometimes it's left outside, and then they just introduce it in and out, but it cools down. Right? It cools down. Some say if it was left inside the pot and hot, they're taking it out, it ain't going to be a cliché-ny. How can it be? It's a hot vessel. You need the vessel to be cold in order to cool the liquid down. That makes sense?
Yeah. If it was cold, it is cold.
Then if it's cold, it's going to be a cliché-ny, and then it enters the chicken soup bowl that you can eat off, that's already a cliché-shlishy, even though it's hot.
Does that apply to salt also?
Salt's an interesting question. Salt, many people say, when it's taken out of the ground, it's forced out with a very hot, powerful force, and therefore it is very, very difficult to... There's one view that says differently, but we don't really paskin like that, I don't believe. And salt is considered to be a food item that is already cooked.
Even Kli Rishon?
Well, no, there's no Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon is a liquid. We're dealing over here with a solid. Salt was seen as a solid. So therefore you can introduce it into it because it's already cooked. It's a cooked food item.
I could put
it
in Kli Rishon.
So, yeah. Yes, off the fire, yes. Yes, very good. Good question. Yeah.
Can you remove a Kli Rishon from fire? Does that change its status?
It's retaining its heat. Yeah. Silica, it's Kli Rishon. Lala Aish. I've never... It's referred to as a Kli Rishon Shehusar Min HaEish. It's been removed from the fire itself. It's definitely less potent. Maybe when it comes to extremely tough meats, it'll make a difference. But we treat it the same. We treat it the same. Yeah.
Transferring heat onto the ladle, and once it's in the soup, it gets really hot.
Very good. So we're going to see over there. Very good question. Your question is, let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. I have a cup of tea, mm-hmm. and I drink it down. There's a few droplets left at the bottom, and I want to introduce hot water into my teacup. Mm-hmm. I'm allowed to put it directly onto the... If those cold droplets in a teacup... At the bottom of the cup, and I introduce hot water into it, I'm cooking those little drops. But I don't care about that. You're still getting benefit from it. Sig Reisha, it's Nichale, you're getting a benefit from it. That is Bishel. So you have to make sure you dry it. If it doesn't have to be hot, but if it's still warm, then it's okay. If it's still warm, it hasn't reverted, this liquid has not reverted back to its original state. In other words, I drink a cup of tea, and I put it down, and 5 minutes later... I want to have some more tea, put inside the pot, put inside the cup, okay? And the answer is, if it's cooled down and it's still warm, though, it's considered to be hot. You can add water directly to it. Otherwise, it follows the same principle as a cold liquid.
How are you
going to
know if it's cold or hot? There's only a few drops.
You can tell. You can tell. You feel the cup itself. It's still warm. Then the cup thing is still warm in there.
Okay.
No, I don't have to use it. You can use the same cup. Or just dry it out. But if you have a cup and you just rinse it out and it's got liquid in it, you can't put it in there. So, for example, I mean, let's see your question over here. Had your hand up for a while? Yes.
No,
1 second, 1 second. We'll come to you in a second. Sorry, then we'll come to you. Yeah. I'm missing you. What was that again? Can you use this expression? I have a Kli Rishon. I have it in the tea, but that's my teapot is not cliché-ny.
Yeah, so now if you drink the tea from your cup...
So now I've got a cliché, I have a cup. Is it full or empty?
It's full, you drink it, and there's a little bit left.
A little bit left. If it's warm, not a problem. If it's cold, then you have eerie cliché-ny, it could be a problem.
So yeah,
either clean it out, dry it up. If it's still warm, it's okay. But if you take something just freshly cleaned... And it's got water inside it, adding water to it's a problem. This idea called Tata Gavra, the bottom part influences. For example, you want to wash your face in the morning and you want to use warm water. Okay? But the sink is only, you can't turn hot water on, what are you going to do? So you can do the following. Here's the opposite to that. Follow this carefully. I fill up the water with the sink with cold water.
I can take hot water from the urn and I can pour it into the sink, because it's a little amount. As each drip goes in, it cools it down. As each drop goes in, it cools it down. Are you following? Let me explain. I want you to see this.
Cooking?
You're not cooking. I'll show you why. Here I have my sink. My sink is full of
cold water.
Sink, cold. Here I have boiling hot water. Boiling hot. Okay, I got a cup full of hot water. As each drop goes into this water, it cools it down. If it's a small amount, if it's a lot, then you're in trouble. If there's a lot of water in here, and you're just taking the chill off this liquid, the tartar cover, the bottom part is going to cool down every drop, and it's our cool down. You could do that. This is not going to get yatz letters, Bo, by you throwing in a cup of hot water into a big sink, and therefore it's not going to be a problem. But the opposite is a problem. What's the opposite? I have a tea urn that is full of hot water, and I want to fill this up now. It's a third full. I want to fill it up. As every drop goes in, cooked, 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 cooked. It's a problem. So you can add the hot water into the cold water, but you cannot add the cold water into the hot water. The bottom one is where the force is. The tata, the bottom part is gavra, is a strong part, and it's going to end up cooking that item that goes into it. I have a question. I have a chulant. And my chulant, you're newly married, and you're making a chulant for the first time. You don't have your temperatures, you're not used to your equipment yet, and your chulant starts to dry out. Not good for shalom bayit. Can you add water to your chulant? Michal, no, why not? Okay, we're now going to learn the rule. Now we think about it. Yes or no? So taking water out of your faucet, adding it to your chulant. If you take the chulant part off the fire, and we'll see there's ways to do that. Okay? Take off the fire and adding cold water to it? Absolutely not. One second. Can I add hot water into it? Can I take the water from my hot water urn and add it into my now drying out chulant pot? Is that a problem? Not a problem. It's a mitzvah. You're saving your chulant. It's pekuach nefesh for your poor husband. Unless he makes a chulant. In many houses he does. They do make the chulants. Okay. So we'll go gender free. But it's not a problem. Adding hot water to a hot cooked item. No problem. No problem. So ideally you want to take it off. If you're able to, take it off the fire, you can put it back on. I'm going to teach you how you can return your chulant to the fire on Shabbat. Right? This definitely rabbinic. According to Torah law, you definitely can. We're going to do that. We're going to use a blech. We're going to hold on to it. We're going to do a number of things. We'll discuss the next couple of classes to teach you how to return your food item to an existing flame on Shabbat. That you can do. The only question I have right now on this is, one second. Let's say I can't remove it. I have no blech, and I can't remove the chulant pot. Can I take the water from the urn and put it into the chulant pot on the other side of the kitchen? That's plugged in, and that's somewhere else in the kitchen. How am I going to do that? What's the problem? Oh, very good. Question is this. Can I take the hot water from the urn, put it into a klisheni, and then I'm adding, and then I've introduced this klisheni water into the hot chulant, maybe it's cooking it.
That's fine.
It probably is fine. Yes, but I want you to think about it at least. It probably is. Probably best to do it one thing, but even if it becomes a klisheni now in the, you know, you'll be using your Tilsi dime cup to do this, but when you do that, it won't be a problem. It's klisheni now, and now you introduce a klisheni into a, right, into a kli rishon. You're taking from a kli rishon al ha'esh, putting it into an empty cup, and then emptying that empty cup into a hot chulant. Right? So we're saying that's going to be okay.
What if it's a solid?
What's a solid?
I don't say. I thought only this applies to cooking the water if it's a solid.
We're talking about the solid is cooked.
The chillin, we're assuming the chillin, if the chillin isn't cooked, forget about it. We're assuming the chillin is cooked. It's now Shabbos morning, and you wake up, and no one's coming home from Shabbos, from shul, right? And you realize, uh-oh, it's drying out. It's going to be dried out. So you're going to add water to it. So cold water you cannot add to it, because you cook the cold water. But you can, right, you're cooking the water itself. Now the chillin's cooked. The chillin's already cooked. It's about to be burnt. It's about to be verbrennt.
Oh. So wait, hold on. Let's say I have like you know, like the milk, the baby bottles, you have like milk and you want it, it's hot milk and you want to cool it down, so you want to add cold water. Can you do that?
So adding cold water could be as in hot, you got hot milk now. And you add cold water. Like a problem, that hot milk is going to cook the water that goes in.
Isn't that like the boiling with the cold?
So over there, no, other way around. You can add a little bit of hot into a lot of cold, because as each drip goes in, it cools. That's going to help you.
What about like defrosting? So I take like
defrosting, we're going to come to.
So
if there's ice, we'll talk about that. When it comes to challahs, for example, and if there's ice on it, you're going to talk about is wipe the residue ice. But if it's like a frozen thing, you want to warm it up by putting it, we'll see, directly onto fire. No. Putting it near a fire or on something on a blech, then it's okay. But you can take a cold chicken, we're going to see how, out of your fridge and put it onto a heat source on Shabbat.
Okay,
how, we're going to see. We're going to have to work it out.
What if it's like too liquid, like it's like a bag of milk and then you're warming it up?
If it's going to reach Yad Seledis Bo, it's a problem. If it's going to reach Yad Seledis Bo, it's a problem. Okay? But if it's in a Kli Shlishi, if you take the hot water, put it into a Kli Shlishi, for example, we want to warm up baby's bottle on Shabbos. So we take a cup, put it into
another
cup, and then to officially shishi. Then you put the bottle and submerge it into there. Completely submerging could be a problem of hatamana. We'll discuss that another time. But partially submerging it inside is going to be okay. Yes.
What if, like, I've had this happen in families before? Everybody comes to the urn with their klishlishi. But everybody's using.
Come to the. How does it come to it?
There's an urn on the counter. And
yes.
Everybody's
going to
make tea, so they each come with their own
klishlishi. Where's the klishlishi? One second, you jumped.
Right. They each come with their own klishlishi.
Well, it's not a klishlishi yet. Is that just because it's a cup doesn't mean it's a klishlishi?
Yes, it is. Everybody's coming with the cup that they're going to drink out of.
Yes.
There's a cup on the counter.
Uh-huh.
That everybody's sharing.
Yes.
The klishlishi.
Yes.
So everybody. Using the same.
Yes, that's fine. That's fine.
It gets hot. It's like
you're saying
warm.
It's like a warm.
It's already like. This is already a.
You're saying now that everyone's using it. This part is like it's too hot. If it's too hot to touch, we won't even pick it up. If it's a couple of minutes beforehand, you know, a minute between each one or something, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. It's rare it gets so hot. You know? It's a metal item and everyone keeps using that cliche. Everything is too hot to touch, possibly a problem. If it's too hot to touch, it could well be a problem.
Yeah.
This all comes from the Gemara. This goes right back.
Okay?
And there, by the way, the ladle is the cuff. That was the question we discussed already. Okay, you did a lot today. You're the lucky ones who made class. Share this with your friends. We will pick this up, God willing, after Pesach. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.